You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Metro Detroiter Amanda Saab trained to be a social worker, but food and baking kept calling her back. Amanda was a contestant on Master Chef Season 6, and she founded Dinner with Your Muslim Neighbor to combat Islamophobia. Her latest food adventure is her Livonia Bakery Butter Bear Shop. Yesterday, I went to watch Amanda and her team in action amidst the Thanksgiving rush.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm Cindy.
Amanda, so nice to meet you.
So wonderful to meet you.
Thank you. I just have
to say, Butter Bear smells better than any place I've been, and I can't remember when.
Oh, thank you.
Yay. It's wonderful. And you're busy, and everybody's jamming things out here, making all kinds of beautiful things.
Thank you. Yeah, we're getting ready for Thanksgiving, one of the biggest food holidays of the year.
So I'm here with Amanda Saab at her bakery, Butter Bear Shop in Livonia. And I have to just start with that wonderful, wonderful name, Butter Bear Shop. Tell me the story behind the name.
Yeah, so my nickname growing up was Manda Panda Bear, and I call my daughter Hannah Bear. And ironically enough, my father-in-law's name is Dib, which means bear in Arabic. And I just thought that was the funniest thing when I met my husband. I'm like, your dad's name is Bear? Like, is that actually a thing? So we're like obsessed with bears. And then butter. So Butterbeer just kind of came together. I mean, I'm a big Harry Potter fan too, so I don't know if Butterbeer had influence in subconscious mind we were thinking. And I started from home, but I wanted it to sound like so official. So like shop just made me feel like I was striving for the storefront shop. I was working towards that brick and mortar. So it made it real for me. So yes. Butterbeer Shop was born.
Show us around a little bit. I'd love to see what you're making, especially what the big orders are for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so we have all sorts of pies. We have a traditional like apple lattice, and then for apple crumble pie, we added cardamom to the crumble just because I love that like spiced floral. And they pair so nice with the Granny Smith apples. We have lots of cheesecakes to make too tonight, so we baklava cheesecakes. People are loving it, and I'm so excited to be able to share something I created myself like with so many different people.
All right, who's this here working?
This is Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Hello.
Well, what are you making?
So right now I'm working on our spice cake, which we have on our Thanksgiving menu. And so once they come out, they get some icing and a nice caramel drizzle. So
what's the key to a beautiful, beautiful spice cake?
The key we use around here is butter. Butter, 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 always butter.
This is Mona. This is actually my little sister.
Oh, little sister. She's got you in here working.
Of course, yes.
What are you making?
I'm making the graham cracker crust for our cheesecakes.
Now tell me about that. Oh, I heard baklava cheesecake and I went, what? We had baklava. Tell me how you created that.
I was like playing with phyllo and then I like just kept coming back to cheesecake because it was the first thing I learned how to bake when I was in fourth grade. So I just kept coming back and I'm like, what if I like lay the phyllo below like as a crust? And I was like, what if I put it on top and it like actually sits perfectly above the cheesecake because it's so rich and dense, so it actually holds up the 12 layers of phyllo dough and all the walnuts and pistachios in the filling.
Now I know, and you mentioned that you took kind of a diversion to social work, went to school for that. So what brought you back to baking and running this bakery?
Yeah, so as I started my career as a social worker, I was working in the hospital, so in the neonatal intensive care unit. And that was like super heavy work. So my way to kind of process and like deal with it in my self-care was through baking. So I would take pictures of my stuff and post it online. And then people were like, oh, you should totally do a blog. And I was like, I don't have time for that. And I was like, you know what? I should. Like, then it's something to pass on and it's like a legacy. And instead of like having like those little note cards that are like oil stained, it's like on the internet and it's like safe forever, hopefully. So I started with that. And then a year after that, I decided to audition for MasterChef. My husband was like, you'd be so good at that. You should totally do it. Like, why not try? And I was like, yeah, why not? Like, I have a super stressful job. I need some fun and excitement. So I auditioned and made the show. And
Season six. And I know that you were the first woman to appear on MasterChef wearing a hijab. And I'm wondering, what did you leave the show feeling most proud of?
I think I was feeling most proud that I stayed my authentic self and I didn't allow like the cameras or like the production and like the need for like story and like, you know, reality TV to deter me from who I am. So I was able to leave feeling proud of what I did.
Now, and then after you left MasterChef, I know you founded Dinner with Your Muslim Neighbor. Tell us about the dinners, like where are they and who comes?
Yeah, so my husband and I host in our homes, and we invite our neighbors, colleagues, and then I post it on Facebook, and if someone's interested, they're welcome to join us.
And what do you serve?
Depends on what I'm feeling. My comfort food is definitely Lebanese food because it reminds me of home. But we always grew up like eating a bunch of different things, so Italian. I like doing just kind of like the American farm-to-table like style, like whatever's in season. Mm-hmm. I don't always plan a menu. I just kind of go to the grocery store, and what's talking to me is what I bring home and what I cook.
What inspired you to start this?
So it was actually after MasterChef that I was receiving like Islamophobic tweets and like messages on Facebook. That coupled with the 2016 presidential election and just hearing a call for a ban on Muslims coming into this country. And as an American Muslim, I didn't know how to react and I didn't know how to respond, but I definitely felt hurt and felt like I needed to do something. And for me, it was through food. So let's create a safe space for people to have dialogue, get together, and just get to know one another.
You know, food builds bridges. You're proof of that. What is the magic of food and sitting down at a table and in building those bridges between disparate communities?
I think food is a common denominator between all people. Like, we all need food, one, to like nourish and sustain ourselves, but we also love to eat good food. And when you can share that, it's building a connection that's, I think, subconsciously super deep. Like, we're sharing in this very necessary act of like humanness. So kind of, I think, brings us down to our humanness.
And we all realize, like you said, who doesn't love a good meal?
Yes.
Now, I know that you're working on a show called Chef and Hijab, and what, you're traveling across Asia in search of the best eats there. So give us an idea of where you've gone and some of the things you found that just made you go, wow.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. This production company in Singapore reached out to me for this concept to film a pilot in Japan. So we went all through Japan and Tokyo and Osaka, and the best food of my life. I was like blown away in the hospitality and just the care for their food. Like, I just went to the grocery store because I like to explore. And this isn't even on the show, but I just like went in my off time and I got like some cucumbers and apples, literally the best produce I've ever tasted. Delicious. And we have farm fresh, amazing produce here in Michigan. Let's not like undermine that.
Right, right.
But I was like, wow, this is like amazing. I got to try halal wagyu Kobe beef, which they only slaughter 3 cows per year. Halal, and there's like this little restaurant and they just served that, and it was so amazing.
So we'll have to stay tuned to that.
Yes.
You know, I know you've blogged about this. What is your strategy for balancing your work and motherhood to your little Hannah?
Oh, it's days like today where I'm like, oh, I'm so missing Hannah Bear today. But we like to spend mornings together, and bedtime routine is definitely mommy. Like, I love to just read her a story and tuck her in before bed each night. But it's like days off, so I'm like so looking forward to Thursday because we'll have the full day. So we'll be up bright and early at 6 a.m. and we'll try to watch the parade together and have fun and then have family dinner.
And she's how old?
She's 15 months.
All right, so maybe a little bit young. You started at about 3 helping mom, but I suspect that tradition will be continuing.
I think so.
You know, I read on your blog, which we should tell everybody is amandasplate.com, and here's what you wrote, that to you, there is no better way to tell someone you love them than to create a meal for them. So what are you going to make for your family for Thanksgiving Day?
Oh, well, the ultimate matriarch, the true giver of love, my grandmother will be cooking for 40 plus people. So I actually get the day off, but I am in charge of dessert always. That's a given in our family, and our cousins are so excited for, they're like, what are you going to bring? I'm like, we'll see. It'll be a surprise this year.
Well, we wish you much success with
Thank
this.
Thank you so much.
Spreading some life and love and light through your baking and through the Butter Bear Shop.
Thank you so much.
Our interview at Butter Bear Shop is part of our series, Beyond the Coney, highlighting the growers, entrepreneurs, and culinary experts behind Michigan's diverse food economy.